This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I run an accountancy business called Cypher, and I am joined by my best podcast friend, Alan Clark from Exponential Coaching. And how are you today, my friend?
I am wonderful. We've had a new puppy come from Spain.
Oh my gosh.
A rescue dog over the weekend. And my sleep has gone from about 1 hour and it's back up at 7. Hey. And it looks as if the dog might actually stay. And by that, I mean it was barking in a way that I'd never experienced a dog barking before. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this?
But
in the last 2 or 3 days, the turnaround has happened, Matt, and sanity has descended back into the house.
Excellent. I'm pleased to hear that. And this is a turnaround in a day or two, because we had a conversation the other day where the dog was not sleeping and you looked a little bit less fresh, shall we say. So one thing I've always wanted to know, you've got more than one dog in your house, right?
With two.
So can your dogs understand each other? Or is your new dog speaking Spanish? And do dogs have accents and language, do you think, that crosses?
I think the answer to that has to be yes. I'm not qualified to say it, but yes, I think the two of them are starting to have a doggy understanding that wasn't there on Friday.
That's a good start. A good start. Okay, perfect. Well, look, let's crack straight on. So what are we talking about today, my friend?
Okay, so we are going to talk about the CEO role again. And this time we're going to talk about creating the space to actually be a CEO. And slight caveat to what this will be about is that so many people lead their business and yet don't have the space nor the time to really be the CEO and its full power, and how powerful that role can actually be. And that's in large organizations, and it's in small businesses, and it's an eternal battle. Actually, we want to get into that today.
Perfect. And this is a conversation we have a lot, and I think it's I think it's really easy for a business owner to sit there and look on social media and look at what their competition are doing and what their business network are doing, and to see other people that are living the CEO life. So they're not on the tools, they're not delivering the product or the service to their customers, they are running the business and that's all they do. And these people generally are very loud and visible on social media, and they're telling everyone what this wonderful life is they're doing. And I think a lot of people get this kind of feeling of failure because they're not there. And I think that's a massive kind of, just that keeping up with the Joneses. Oh, well, John runs the same business as me and he's a CEO now and he doesn't do any work. And to that I say, quite often, that's a lie. The social media front that people have put out there that, yeah, I'm the CEO and that's all I do and my team does all the work and delivers everything. I'm not sure that is the case for every business owner that's saying it. I know it for a fact, because I'm one of those business owners. I've even said on the podcast that I made the step change earlier this year to step away from the coalface, not do any accounts work and become the CEO of the business. And I'm probably, we had this conversation yesterday, I'm like 90% there. Mm-hmm. But is 90% there enough? Because now where I am, is, and this is where I think a lot of the people that are saying, yeah, we've made it and we're the CEO now and we work on the business, not in the business, I don't think they ever get to 100%, or they're certainly not there. They're all at 80 to 90%, which means that you're doing 80% of the CEO role, so you're ineffective, and you're doing 20% of the operational role, which you're definitely ineffective at, because you can't, you know, there's a reason you've got a team, because they can generally do it better than you at this point. And I think that too many business owners give themselves a hard time that they're not there, judge themselves against standards which are unobtainable, and that's kind of what I wanted to have the conversation about, really, is how do we get all of these people to that point where they are pure CEO? What's the first thing that has to happen? What's your standard advice to a business owner in this position?
My standard advice is to have clarity on how they want their business to be over a certain time period. So let's, for this conversation, let's call it 12 months. So am I really clear? And actually, am I giving myself permission to be really clear? So let's remove worry, anxiety, fear, reasons why not. Let's take that out just a sec. So am I getting a clean read on what I really do want my business to look like in 12 months? Second question, and the same to me, what role do I really want to be doing in that business in 12 months? And the reason why I'm going for that is because some businesses, depending on where they are in the development journey, the owner, the founder, the CEO will very much be in a 50-50 operations role. That could be because of payroll or other cost restrictions. But if I'm really clear that in the 12 months, this is what my role will look like, and this is what my business will look like, then that really frees me up now to put the strategy in place and to actually bring that into existence. So if I'm not the CEO working exclusively on the business, and I want to be, I now have a timeline to get me to there. Therefore, I'm not going to be beating myself up or crying when I see somebody else on LinkedIn making it. I know that I'm on a journey and I can put my energies onto a clear pathway. So I would say that's the first stage.
Yeah, exactly. Identify, get clarity, like you said, on what that actually looks like. And you have to be committed to it, because the easiest thing, and I know this from 100% from experience, the easiest thing to do is to set everything up and then at the first sign of pressure or stress or trouble, sink back to where you were. Go back to what you know, pick up the job, get the job out the door, keep your clients happy. And that's not the CEO role. Like, if you imagine at Tesla, if Elon Musk is walking down the production line and he sees one that's got a slightly bent, you know, body part, he ain't jumping on the line and fixing it. He's not getting his tools out, is he?
No.
That's the CEO. There's, you know, at that stage, the CEO is not getting involved. But in your small business, the standard default position, and I know this from experience, is to get in and get in amongst it and feel like you're helping everybody out, and you're not. You're it's a short-term sticking plaster, isn't it? Because what it's, that pressure, however it's arisen, whether it's client pressure or supply chain issues or cash flow issues, whatever it is that you're jumping in to fix, it's a symptom of a bigger issue in the business. So if it's that you can't get this work out, it's not an issue because it's either your staff aren't productive enough, or more than likely you're under capacity and you need to get more staff in. But you jumping in and fixing it, all it's doing is making it go away today. But in 6 months' time, it's going to come back twice as hard, right? Would you agree?
I think that's very accurate. And in many ways, you're all playing out of position then, and nobody's getting a clean read, you know? So suddenly, I could be setting strategy. I could be thinking about vision. I could be out meeting potential clients and being an advocate for my business, but I'm not. I'm doing accounts, or I'm creating designs, or I'm manufacturing, or I'm serving coffees, or I'm coaching, you know. So all these roles then take you away from the power, the real power of what that chief in the business role is meant to be. You know, but for me, it gets worse than that. It's not really a coachy phrase, but let me keep going with it. It gets worse than that, because by diving in, you are then adding to the busyness of it all. So suddenly it becomes one long month of continual busyness where I'm getting more and more confused and lost. The company's not got the direction and steer it could have, and I'm starting to have emotions that are all over the place. Probably not many of them are good, and I'm becoming burnt out and overwhelmed and actually losing my ability to really impact on huge change, unless I get that transport moment of clarity where I can sit there and go, what do I really want to create with this business and what role do I want to do? And then that snaps you into a new dimension and suddenly you're back in charge again after really losing it for a while.
It's definite that eye on where you want to be and also understanding, I think, where you've been, because mm-hmm. most business owners, their growth is fairly linear. So you grow every year, you keep moving forwards, the team gets bigger. This CEO role comes in at a certain point. It's different in every business, but it's not on day one. Like when you generally, you launch a business, let's say you're a lettings agent or an insurance broker or whatever, you start off with the business owner and maybe one or two other people, but generally the business owner on their own, working out, figuring out, how do I get customers? How do they pay me? What's my product? What's my unique differentiator in the market? Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, that will get you to, I don't know, 150, 200 grand a turnover. Depending on what you do, it's different numbers, but it gets you to a point. And then you start to build the team, and suddenly not every customer is dealt with by you. This is the journey, right? Not everyone mm-hmm. is dealt with by you, mm-hmm. and suddenly your staff are earning you money when you're not there. And that's when, for some people, that becomes a proper business, right? Because you can go on holiday and it still earns some money. At that point, you're still in this hybrid role. Sometimes now you're doing non-client and customer stuff and doing some business CEO role, but not the business at that point is generally not big enough to support, you know, one doer and one CEO. And it doesn't need to, because it doesn't need that. The CEO role is not that all-consuming kind of driving force that it will be. But then once you double again, once you get to 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, again, it depends on the business. Everything at that point gets tipped on its head, because at that point it is its own living organism, and it's completely different from when you were doing that hybrid role at 100,000, 200,000. Like the business has completely different concerns, and the CEO role at that point is a full-on, full-time job. And that's the point. You have to understand wherever you are in your business journey, it depends per business, but there is a point where you have to, if you're going to continue to grow and not burn out as the business owner, you have to understand when that point is and make that step away. Because if you look at it a completely different way, a 100 grand business can do away without a CEO, right? Can a £1 million business, in your mind, a fully functioning, successful £1 million turnover and above business, can that run without a fully functioning MD/CEO? I would say almost inevitably no. But so many of them do, because they've got this hybrid CEO who's also chief bottle washer in the production line or whatever it is that they do. And that's the people that this podcast kind of applies to most. Anyone that's on that journey to that £1 million and having to make that hard switch, that's the people that need to be listening to what we're talking about, I guess.
Yes, and a company could run without a fully functioning MD or CEO, a £1 million turnover, but it'd be suboptimal. It would not be creating its true value. It could do. No, that's right. That's right. This is where you become really challenging on yourself. You can, you know, you've got your business to that level. Even at a logical level, if you take yourself right out of what you were doing from a non-strategy setting advocate leadership role, and if you can take yourself out and do that role, then logically you're going to add more value to that business. The business is already established. To your point, it's got a mind of its own. It's got a culture by then. It's a living organism anyway. You can go to 3 weeks to the Bahamas and it'll still go on. So this thing has now got a heart. It can beat independently to you. But if you were actually putting all your heart and your soul and your mind into vision into, are we really delighting our customers? Are we serving the right customers? And how are we going to get there? And how do we double to 2 million? Then, you know, you will add so much more value than if you're not. So it does go back to that question, given the next 12 months, what do I want to really create in my business? Because even if I am bottle washing and I ask that question, then I escape the bottle washing, I answer the question, and then I go, right then, we've got a vision anyway. I want to get a strategy and I want to bring that into existence. So, you know, and it's there for everyone. It's there for every single founder, every single owner in a company, and every single CEO that's employed in an organization that's still not having the full remit of his or her role. Everyone has got a choice and everyone can nudge this in the right direction, and the difference is massive.
But it is difficult because often it's difficult because the CEO and the business owner, in an owner-managed business, they're one and the same. So it's your baby, right? You've built this thing and you've grown this thing. And then the times when you slide back from that CEO role to go back to all hands on pump is because there's stress in the business. And you've got this team that you've built and you can see that they're under pressure. That's the most common way that people come out of their CEO role, is to go and fight a fire. And it's because you don't want to see your team struggling. And it is difficult to say no and either have someone put under more pressure than, you know, that they say deserve, that's maybe not the right word, but to see a member of the staff struggling and to say no and not turn a blind eye, but to look at the big picture and understand and fix it that way rather than the easy fix, the quick fix, which is to jump on and do. And that doesn't move you forwards. And once you've done that once, once you've slid back once, it's easy to slide back again the next time it happens and the next time it happens. And you end up forever dipping between these two roles and being suboptimal in both. So it is really, it's a really difficult step. I think that's why we're having this conversation, because it's too easy to step backwards, and you're dealing with, assuming you're the type of CEO that cares about your staff, and let's hope that all our listeners care about their people.
They do.
You don't want to see someone struggling, do you? So you jump in because you're a nice person, you're a good human. But are you actually doing them the favour that you think you're doing them? That's the question I think we need to ask.
And that is it's a brilliant question, because yes, you could be serving alongside them for the day. You know, you could be taking on some of the workload and some of the projects and taking the pressure off and doing that out of care, and actually care for your clients as well as your colleagues. So that's wonderful. You could do that, and that's one way to express care. Another way to express care is to make the company more successful so that more people get more out of the company. That could be more successful, there could be bonus structure, there could be different roles, there could be promoted posts, therefore more salary, there could be pay increases because they're more successful. And actually, you're not holding up the show, you're not, to use that chemistry term, you're not the rate determining step anymore, you're taking yourself out of that. The thing is going much slicker. And you've got people in the operation that want to be there and that are passionate about it and are technically competent. Quite often the CEO was technically competent. It's now 5-10 years since they've really been at the coalface, and they've lost a lot of that va-va-voom anyway. So yeah, that's another way of expressing care.
Absolutely. And I tell you one thing that we've not talked about, but we really should. Although your point there about not, you know, not being up to scratch with the kind of regulations. I mean, it's not a client of my new firm, but at the old firm, I used to look after a really successful plumbing and heating business. And there was a guy there that ran that, and he was the CEO. And he had his own office, and I remember saying to him once, he had this massive issue where he had a couple of guys off sick. and he delivered, you know, he's got really high profile clients and they needed someone on site and they didn't have one. And I said, can you not just jump in the van and get them out of the hole? You know, he used to be a plumber. And he's like, yeah, that's the phrase. I used to be a plumber. Now I'm the MD. And as much as I'd love to, I wouldn't have the first clue how to plumb this big boiler into this big infrastructure because I haven't done it for 15 years. And it'd be more day. And you think, actually, he's lucky that he can't step backwards because it's not an option. So he had, and he dealt with the problem. I'm not sure, can't remember how, but he obviously dealt with it because the business is still going and nothing's, you know, whatever was urgent wasn't that urgent that it stopped the business in its tracks. And so life goes on. But that was, yeah, you need to at some point just take yourself out of the equation. And if you end up being kind of old school and the industry technology moves on, then, you know, that's a nice way of getting out. What I wanted to say was often an important part of the step from hybrid CEO / manager to proper full CEO is bringing someone in like an ops director. I've got a few clients that have revolutionized their business by bringing this kind of person in that is the go-between the kind of middle managers and doers and the CEO. And it's their job to keep everything turning and the wheels going. And sometimes that may involve jumping in and fighting fires and doing. But the important point is it's a big salary, right? That's going to be a 50, 60, 70K salary, I imagine, depending on what you do. But it is a massive kind of deflector shield between the CEO and the day-to-day problems. And I think that is the biggest fundamental change. You need to get your mindset right. Like you said, plan for it, bring it in and stick to your guns. But actually the cementing of that step is bringing that ops director role in. And I think we have these conversations a lot, but are you agreeing with that?
Oh, 100%. And again, that's why in many businesses that doesn't happen, because there is a cost to that. And therefore, short term, it's easier just covering that cost and sort of being that role and not forking out on the 70,000. So I totally get that. However, when you snap yourself out and go, right, what do I really want to create for this business? What results do I really want? And you see it, then you can plan for that. You can go, right, okay, actually, we could get to this and I could bring in this role. And that would free me up from X, Y, Z so that I could go and fuel more growth and strengthen the business over here. That would be about 60 grand. And if it's not now, but we grow our sales by 5% or whatever, you do the sum, you speak to a good accountant, you do the sums, then you can get a pretty accurate read that if a certain performance is there, then the reward at the end of that performance is this role. Well, that's now, that can be done quite straightforward.
And it needs a leap of faith, but your business needed a leap of faith on day one. And that's the hardest one. And then it needed a leap of faith when you took on your first employee, right? You've done all the harder ones. It's just extra cost. It's a big salary. However, your business, to get to this point, your business has grown. So you've got a business that we're comfortable can grow by X amount every year, right? Irrelevant of COVID, irrelevant of other market forces. If you've got to that, no business generally starts with a million or half a million of turnover, right? They're all starting from somewhere and moving forwards. That growth has happened despite the CEO being pulled from three or four or five different roles. Imagine if you freed the CEO up. Because generally, in these sort of size businesses, there's not a separate sales function. So the CEO is, as part of their role, has got business development in there. If you free up the CEO from all the other crap and let them drive the business on, that level of growth can be supercharged. Because it's law of, you know, what's the word? It's just pure maths, right? If you have more conversations, you'll pick up more leads. If you're more visible on social media, you'll pick up more leads. If you're more spend more time on your marketing plan and producing content or whatever it is, you will produce more leads. And from there,
a numbers game.
And yeah, it's a numbers game. And once you've got more leads and you've got more time, then you can action those leads better and you can follow them up better and you can work on your proposal and your quoting systems or whatever. The point is, you can be more efficient with more leads, and therefore you'll win more clients and fuel more growth. The hindrance of this is not, it shouldn't be looked at as a 70k cost for this ops director. It should be looked at, how many hours are we freeing from the CEO to do this supercharged business growth? And then, boom, off we go. Because we've all been there. I defy a business owner that says to me they don't 100% action every single lead exactly the same to the exact best of their ability. I know we are really good at this in my business, but we do not do that with everyone, because we get buried under the day-to-day and the onboarding of the new ones that have come on. And so some leads just get missed, and it's frustrating and it's annoying, but it's part of business. If you can get out so that you can take some stuff off your plate and deliver on those, imagine the growth that you could have. And that 70k cost then pales into comparison to the growth that you can achieve. And you see, we see this a lot. Loads of businesses struggle to get up to that kind of three quarters of a million. And once you get there, you fly through it. And why do you do that? Because you get the right structure in, and the CEO can deliver what they should be delivering.
It's a massive point. Here's a quick story. I'll make it two headlines. So this was a real conversation, but I don't want to go into the detail. But basically, real conversation this week with a business owner, CEO, and that business was using 20 hours every month to do something of which they got a return of, right? And when I said, so the conversation started with, I really want to have a conversation about my time. I would love to create more of my time, but I'm verging on overwhelm, and I'm not sure, apart from working 24 hours a day, how I can make a difference. And this is a relatively, it's a startup, right? So not yet in the position of lots of employees in, but thinking that way and actually going by current performance, I would say relatively soon. But we looked at then a different question, said, right, okay, what are you using your time for? And it was 20 hours of activity every month that got a financial payback, right? And I asked the question, is that the optimal use of that 20 hours for that particular payback? Let's do the maths and the hourly rate and everything else. And the person went, oh, good grief. No, actually, but I sort of like doing it. And then we talked about sort of like doing it versus what could you absolutely do that would be bigger and bolder, more exciting for you, and actually more on brand with your company. And there was an answer. And actually, the answer gave, I kid you not, 8 times the revenue back for half the hours. And because the person was in the business, that just hadn't given themselves permission to have the conversation, which we kicked off this, was given the next 12 months, what do I really want to create, and what performance needs to be true in me to bring that in. And we got into that, and absolutely this week these 20 hours are going to be shifted to a new 20 hours, which is 10 hours with a bigger payback, and 10 hours to actually create something completely new. So that's another way of doing it, is to really, really challenge what you're actually doing.
Absolutely. I tell you what, you said a phrase in there, and I feel like this, we should rebrand our podcast just for this one episode and call it the Mind Your Busyness podcast, because that's what we're saying, right? We're creating time by minding the busyness in the business, because that's the issue, right? Everyone that's been stuck in this halfway house between the two always talk about the same symptoms. They're always massively time pressured. They're always feeling overwhelmed. They're always frustrated with the situation and with themselves for not being a better CEO. But the fact is, they've not given them a chance. It's like sending your, you know, sending a racing car out without a clutch, like, it's going to get so far and then it's going to blow up, and that's exactly where we are here. But I guess the overwhelming thing is that this is where every business, the kind of overriding thing to remember here is that everybody's been here. All those successful 6, 7, 10 million pound businesses that you look up to and think, oh, I wish I could get there, they were all here. And they all have, whoever's the CEO now was at some point a doer, and at some point buried and in this hybrid role and hating life and wondering how to get better. And they've all made that step. And they're no different. They've just acknowledged that they needed to make the step. And they've put in the systems and the processes and the people in place to allow them to make that step. That's the difference, isn't it? That's all we're talking about. There's no magic pill. You just need to be brave enough to say, no, I'm not going to step in and fix this one this time. We're going to look at it differently and we're going to put a different plan in place.
I think so. And it starts with giving yourself permission to ask the question, what results do I really want to create with my business, and what role do I want for me? Knowing that anything goes, you can create anything. And give yourself permission to ask that question. And that, to me, that's the start of the Rocky Balboa training montage music. And then you're getting yourself free and you're into a new stage.
And it is exactly that. Understanding, if we're a £1 million business, what does that actually look like? How many people do we need to deliver the work? How many clients do we need? What does our marketing need to look like? How do we need to upgrade systems? All of this needs to be planned, because you don't accidentally become, no one accidentally became a £1 million business. I think someone's going to ring me up now and say, actually, it happened to us, we were just lucky or whatever. But the reality is, you have to plan. And if you don't plan, you're going to bumble along and you're going to hit a ceiling, and then it's all going to fall over because people are going to get too stressed or bothered. You know, it's going to be too much noise. Plan for it.
So here's
and then work backwards.
That's right. And I this was in a previous session, so this wasn't even for the Mind Your Business podcast. This was I was doing a workshop earlier today, funnily enough, on the CEO was one of the roles. So primary role of the CEO is responsible for the overall performance and success of the company, right? Okay, and that's subjective, and I get that. But just to use what you just said there, big role is leading and developing and executing short and long term strategy to either increase shareholder value or the value of the company. So that is what you get. The more time you spend in CEO space, you get time to develop, lead and execute short and long term strategy that will add more value to your company. If you're not doing that, that's not happening.
That's it, you've hit a ceiling at that point.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well look, that feels like it feels like maybe we should have started with defining the CEO role rather than spending half an hour talking about it and then, but actually it also feels like a nice place to end that conversation. We're going to come back to this in a future podcast because it's a hot topic. Like it is, I talk about this all the time, and everyone else I know is talking about this and trying to crack the code. So
We're cracking the code here, Matt.
We are. I like to think of myself as deciphering the code, but that's just some brand placement for me. Anyway.
Oh, nice. I saw what you did there. That was good.
Any chance for a plug? Shameless. I am shameless. So, Alan, have you got anything else you want to cover off before we let our listeners go about their day?
No, apart from we're now over 2,500 downloads. There's another shameless plug. 2,500 downloads. Very much looking forward to lots of plans and excitement for 2022.
Absolutely. 2022 is going to be the year of the Mind Your Business podcast. You're going to see us everywhere, you lucky folk. So, without further ado, I'm going to let everyone go now. So, as ever, if you like what you hear, give us a shout on social. We love feedback, and it really helps us boost and grow the podcast, really, which is what we're intending to do. If there's anything particularly you'd love us to talk about, then let us know. We've love to hear topics that people think are interesting that we can talk about, but we'll leave it there for now. Grab a like on the you know, like us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and tune in next week for more Podcast Gold. But for now, that's all from me, and it's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.